Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, The Week magazine, Rolling Stone, and Classic FM. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, country, rock, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions come to us from the website onthisday.com. Question number one, it was on this very day, back in which year, that the Grand Ole Opry debuted as a regular broadcast on television? Was that back in A, 1938, B, 1948, C, 1958, or D, 1985? When did the Grand Ole Opry begin as a regular TV broadcast show anyway? And question number two, it was announced on this day in the year 2000 that singer Tony Bennett would do what? Was it A, sing the Star Spangled Banner at the opening World Series game in the fall? B, have his paintings exhibited at a London gallery starting in May? C, finally retire from performing and singing? Or D, legally granted that upon his death, his heart will be physically buried in San Francisco? So, what exactly did singer Tony Bennett do on this day back in 2000 anyway? The answers to these two important questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from that same website, onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of April the 12th. Well, it was on this very day back in 1742 in Dublin, Ireland, that George Frederick Handel's Messiah was first performed publicly. 1742, today. Meanwhile, in the USA, it was 70 years ago today, 1954, that Bill Haley and the Comets recorded Rock Around the Clock. The song was released a year later in the movie Blackboard Jungle, one of the first big rock songs, 1954, today. And in classical music news, we have this article titled Poignant Quotations About Music by Great Writers. This is published in ClassicFM.com on the 7th of March, 2024, by Ali Donavant. The link between music and literature is unmistakable. Spanning centuries, canons, and creators of all kinds, who better than the world's greatest writers to try and achieve the impossible, describing the power of music in words. Start off with number one, Jane Austen. She said, "Without music, life would be a blank to me." British novelist Jane Austen penned this relatable quote in her 1815 novel, Emma, spoken by Mrs. Elton. Austen herself was an accomplished pianist, practicing every day in the Regency period. It was expected that all refined young ladies play the piano, and Austen was no exception. Music books were expensive, however, so Austen would often copy out borrowed scores by hand onto ruled pages in her diary. Austin's passion for music can be seen in her books, as it was very often a central topic in many of her novels. Number two, Victor Hugo. He stated, "Music expresses that which cannot be put into words and that which cannot remain silent." Victor Hugo, the French romantic writer and politician, was known for being vocal about his love for music. There are several references to music in many of his most famous novels, including Les Mis and The Hunchback of Notre Dame. Many of his works have even inspired iconic works for the stage, including Verdi's opera Rigoletto, based on Hugo's play Les Rois s'amusent, as well as his ultra-famous musical Les Mis and Notre Dame de Paris. And at number three, Virginia Woolf. She said, "The only thing in this world is music. Music and books and one or two pictures." Considered one of the most important 20th century authors, British writer Virginia Woolf was significantly impacted by music. It directly inspired her own literary compositions, playing an essential role in her work as a writer. She even planned to write a book detailing the influence of music on literature, but this aim was unfortunately cut short by her death in 1941. Perhaps her most revealing remark was written in a letter to her friend. "It's odd, for I'm not regularly musical, but I always think of my books as music before I write them." Then there's Kurt Vonnegut, number four. "The only proof he needed for the existence of God was music." American writer Kurt Vonnegut, author of Slaughterhouse-Five, managed to capture the feeling many of us have about music being the closest we as humans can get to the divine. The entire quote actually reads, "If I should ever die, God forbid, let this be my epitaph. The only proof he needed for the existence of God was music." Number five, George Eliot. He said, "There is no feeling except the extremes of fear and grief that does not find relief in music." Marianne Evans, known by her pen name George Eliot, was an English novelist, poet, and one of the leading writers of the Victorian period. This moving quote comes from her 1860 novel, The Mill on the Floss, and gives us some insight into her own feelings on music. Eliot was actually a skilled pianist who excelled in lessons while attending school, and music remained important to her throughout her life. And then there's Leo Tolstoy, who said, "Music makes me forget myself, my real position. It transports to some other position, not my own." Russian writer Leo Tolstoy made his love of music known throughout his life and in his many famous works. Regarded as one of the most famous and influential authors of all time, Tolstoy is best known for his two masterpieces, War and Peace and Anna Karenina. But did you know that he also tried his hand at composition? He wrote just one musical work titled Waltz in F Major when he was younger, and considered pursuing music as a profession. Then there's Henry David Thoreau, who said, "When I hear music, I fear no danger. I am invulnerable. I see no foe. I am related to the earliest time and the latest." 19th century American essayist, poet, and philosopher Henry David Thoreau championed the value of music alongside his leading transcendentalist values. Best known for his book Walden, which advocates simplifying life and connecting with nature, he wrote this in his journal in an excerpt from an 1857 entry. He recognized the power of music to give solace, confidence, and peace to those who listen, just as nature so often does. Fats Waller, Ain't Misbehavin', introduces our jazz and blues music news. It's titled Jelly Roll Blues, Censored Songs and Hidden Histories. This is a hardcover book, and the review was published on April the 2nd, 2024. Book sells for $30, and it's written by Elijah Wald. This is published in Amazon.com. A best-selling music historian follows Jelly Roll Morton on a journey through the hidden worlds and forbidden songs of early blues and jazz. In Jelly Roll Blues, Censored Songs, and Hidden Histories, Elijah Wald takes readers on a journey into the hidden and censored world of early blues and jazz, guided by the legendary New Orleans pianist Jelly Roll Morton. Morton became nationally famous as a composer and band leader in the 1920s, but got his start 20 years earlier, entertaining customers in the city's famous bordellos and singing rough blues in Gulf Coast honky-tonks. He recorded an oral history of that time in 1938, but the most distinctive songs were hidden away for over 50 years, because the language and themes were as wild and raunchy as anything in gangsta rap. Those songs inspired Wald to explore how much other history had been locked away and censored, and this book is the result of that quest. Full of previously unpublished lyrics and stories, it paints a new and surprising picture of the dawn of American popular music, when jazz and blues were still the private after-hours music of the black sporting world. It gives new insight into familiar figures like Buddy Bolden and Louis Armstrong, and introduces forgotten characters like Ready Money, the New Orleans sex worker and pickpocket who ended up owning one of the largest black hotels on the West Coast. Revelatory and fascinating, these songs and stories provide an alternate view of black culture at the turn of the 20th century, when a new generation was shaping lives their parents could not have imagined, an art that transformed popular culture around the world, the birth of a joyous, angry, desperate, loving, and ferociously funny tradition that resurfaced in hip-hop and continues to inspire young artists in a new millennium. And in music research and technology, we have this article titled, Songs to Get You in the Spring Cleaning Groove. This is published by Merrymaids.com. From your favorite slow jam to your go-to pop hit, music is literally the soundtrack of our lives. When it comes to cleaning your home, music can push you through fatigue, increase stimulation, and improve your coordination. We've made a special playlist to help you get through it. Your Merry Maids professionals are more than just cleaning experts. We're also avid music connoisseurs, and we have your list of the best music from the 1980s to the 2020s to get you in the groove and keep you motivated while you disinfect your home. How does music help you with cleaning? At least once in their life, everyone has cranked up their favorite bop and just let loose after a hard day at work or a stressful event. Don't worry, we won't tell anyone, but you should know that scientists approve. Experts have determined that music can create a motivational foundation for many of your daily activities, like cleaning. It can also positively impact physical and mental health. Music wakes you up and reduces fatigue. Mental fatigue can hit you when you least expect it because life is hectic. However, music has been proven to positively affect mental exhaustion. When you're engaged in routine tasks like studying, reading, or doing chores, they can take a mental toll just by how mundane they can be. Upbeat music can increase productivity and motivation and help eliminate the boredom you experience performing repetitive responsibilities. Further, music stimulation can also motivate you to clean faster and enjoy it more. For instance, a study found that cyclists who listened to faster music instead of music with a slower tempo worked harder and biked a further distance. Music increases endorphins. Have you ever noticed how happy you get when your favorite song comes on the radio, or how much better vigorous activities are when your headphones are blasting an upbeat jam? This is because when you're listening to music, your body releases endorphins in the brain and give you a heightened sense of excitement. Those good feelings are brought on because music stimulates the connections between auditory and motor neurons, helping you groove and sway to the beat. Music-causing endorphins can also help in the following ways. They quell anxiety, they ease pain, and they stabilize the immune system. With high endorphin levels, there are few adverse effects caused by stress. And who doesn't want to nip stress in the bud? So here are some songs recommended by this article for inclusion in your cleaning playlist. These are from the 1980s through the 2020s. Bon Jovi's Living on a Prayer. Diana Ross, Upside Down. Wham's Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go. Journey's Don't Stop Believing. The Bangles' Walk Like an Egyptian. Smells Like Teen Spirit by Nirvana. Love Fool by The Cardigans. Crazy in Love by Beyonce. Just Dance by Lady Gaga. Uptown Funk by Bruno Mars. Girl Like Me by Black Eyed Peas featuring Shakira. And Pearl Jam's Whoever Said. Plus, of course, any other tunes that just naturally get you up and grooving. Finally, the article ends with this. Music improves coordination and confidence. Researchers have found a direct connection between improved motor coordination and confidence when listening to music. When you're completing a task with music in the background, you tend to move or work to the rhythm of the beat. This can help improve your motor skills, coordination, and increase self-confidence. So how'd you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, it was on this very day back in which year that the Grand Ole Opry debuted as a regular broadcast on television. Was it A, 1938, B, 1948, C, 1958, or D, 1985? And the correct answer is answer D, 1985. As noted in Opry.com, the Opry House gave the show more space and the facilities necessary to grow and evolve. It was televised live for the first time on March the 4th, 1978, as part of a PBS fundraising special, but the show would not start regular television broadcast until 1985. The Opry family began welcoming more giants like the Gatlin brothers, John Conley, Ricky Skaggs, Lori Morgan, Reba McEntire, Randy Travis, and Patti Loveless. By the way, in May of 2010, the venue was ravaged by a historic flood that forced the Opry House to close its doors for 5 months for restoration. The show pressed on at other venues across Nashville, including two former homes, War Memorial Auditorium and the Ryman. The Opry House was beautifully restored, and the show made its triumphant return on September 28, 2010. Then in October of 2020, after 7 months of performing without a live audience due to the coronavirus pandemic, the Opry kicked off its 95th anniversary by welcoming back 500 guests to the Opry House. With an untouchable legacy of shaping and sharing the genre, the most industrious and illustrious family of artists in the industry, and an ardent global audience, after almost 100 years, the Opry continues to be the true home of country music. And the answer to our second question? It was announced on this day in the year 2000 that singer Tony Bennett would do what? Was it A, sing the Star Spangled Banner at the opening World Series game in the fall? Was it B, have his paintings exhibited at a London gallery starting in May? Was it C, finally retire from performing and singing? Or was it D, legally granted that upon his death, his heart will be buried in San Francisco? Correct answer? Answer B, his paintings in a London gallery. As noted in OnThisDay.com, a selection of Tony Bennett's paintings would be exhibited at a London gallery from May 16 until June 16. The title of the exhibition is What My Heart Has Seen. A 7/21/2023 Parade magazine article by Eliza Thompson adds, Tony Bennett was a music legend and pop culture icon, but casual fans might not realize that he was also an accomplished painter. In between selling 50 million records and winning 20 Grammys, the late singer also devoted his time to visual arts, working mainly with watercolor and oil paint. Bennett began drawing at age 5, making his mark with sidewalk chalk outside his home in Queens. In his teen years, he studied both music and art at the High School of Art and Design, then called the School of Industrial Arts. At the time, he preferred art class because, as he told WQXR in 1981, he found music classes to be terribly boring. I found even as a kid, I'd draw or paint away, and all of a sudden, it was my own little creation, Bennett explained in a 2007 book. His priorities soon shifted, but as Bennett's singing career took off, his love for painting never diminished, and neither did his desire to learn as much as he could about art. I like to go to schools like the Academy of Art down in the village. That's a fantastic place. You have to learn form before you can be free. And they teach the old Michelangelo techniques of studying the bones, and then the muscles, and then the skin, and then the shadings. You learn from the bottom up. And I like that kind of traditional teaching. There are no shortcuts. And if you do it the right way, it really gets good. I loved the whole process. After Bennett's death at the age of 96 on July 21, 2023, tributes poured in praising his talent as a musician, but still others nodded to his love of art. Today we mourn the passing of legendary New York singer Tony Bennett, read a tweet from Central Park's official account. Tony was an incredible friend to the park, where he loved painting wildlife and foliage scenes later in his life. Bennett did indeed love to paint landscapes, both of his New York City hometown and the places he saw during his decades of world travel. But he was an accomplished portraitist as well. His 1993 painting of fellow music icon Duke Ellington is part of the Smithsonian's collection at the National Portrait Gallery. While the Ellington portrait is probably Bennett's most famous painting, it was actually the third artwork he donated to the Smithsonian. In 2002, he donated a portrait of Ella Fitzgerald to the National Museum of American History, and in 2006, the Smithsonian American Art Museum received one of his paintings of Central Park. According to Bennett, Ellington was the person who encouraged him to take his art more seriously in later life after his music career became his main focus. He told me it was better to be creative in more than one field, and he was so right, Bennett told Long Island Weekly in 2015. I love the fact that when I'm not performing, I can stay in a creative zone and paint. And then when I'm done painting, it's time to hit the stage again and perform. Bennett signed all of his work and with his given name, Anthony Benedetto. So it's certainly possible that you could see one of his paintings and not know that the singularly talented crooner was responsible for it. In 2016, Bennett was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease, but he continued making art for as long as he could. The Art Students League of New York exhibited a collection of his later work as recently as 2019. That show included an ink sketch of Lady Gaga, who famously collaborated with Bennett on two duet albums, Cheek to Cheek and Love for Sale. So let's close out today's program with What a Wonderful World. Here's Tony Bennett and K.D. Lang's 2002 duet.
I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day and the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review, underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning, please call 919-779-1755. So long, until next time.